From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Abigail Giles, filling in for Mitch Wortley. It's Wednesday, January 8th. Here are today's headlines. The number of Vermonters with ALS is above the national average. That's according to a new report from the State Department of Health. Health Commissioner Mark Levine says this is the first year of Vermont's ALS registry, and it is too early to draw conclusions from the data.
It's not a huge amount of information in this very first rendition. And so our confidence in the amount of reporting, we don't really know yet. We'll have to see year to year.
Lawmakers asked the health department to collect data on ALS after some reports linked the fatal disease to the blue-green algae that has been showing up in some of the state's lakes and ponds. The Vermont Democratic Party is searching for new leadership after Executive Director Jim Dandenault announced he's stepping down. Dandenault said in a press release that he will stay in his position through mid-February. In an interview with VT Digger Monday, he said the decision to resign did not stem from this past November's election, when state Republicans made their biggest legislative gains in years. The Vermont Democrats have posted the executive director role on their website. Killington Ski Resort officials say a rise in passholder fraud has forced them to beef up security, and the resort is reminding skiers not to share their season passes. Killington's Jordan Spear says since the start of the season, more than 50 individuals have been caught using someone else's pass. And Spear says he's hearing more about the problem industry-wide.
We don't want to have our guests in a situation where we're confiscating the pass and shutting off access. You know, theft of service is what it falls under, because it does impact everyone else who is doing the right thing and not sharing their pass.
An unlimited adult ski pass to Killington costs more than $1,700. Other ski resorts like Vail and Mount Bachelor in Oregon have also reported increases in pass fraud. Vermont's 2025 trout season started January 1st, and ice fishers in southern Vermont will have new opportunities to catch brown, rainbow, and brook trout at lakes in Cavendish and Bennington. That's because the state is testing a program where it stocks trout in the fall at some lakes, and it's focusing on locations that have not historically allowed trout fishing or didn't have trout. Lael Will is a fisheries biologist with the state.
So historically, a lot of these small ponds were closed because they were worried that it would impact the wild populations. But a lot of these ponds right now, there are no wild populations. They're solely relying on stocked fish.
Will says the department wants to help people fish during the fall, which is increasingly mild because of human-caused climate change. Like all brook trout the state stocks, these fish will not be able to reproduce. That's to protect Vermont's wild brook trout population. There will be a free ice fishing clinic at Knapp Pond No. 2 in Cavendish this Saturday. Coming up, we'll set the scene for this year's legislative session, which kicks off today. That's after this. Whether it was President-elect Trump winning the White House or Republicans taking control of the U.S. Senate, the 2024 election went about as well as it could have for the GOP. And nowhere did Republicans pick up more seats in a state legislature than in the little blue state of Vermont. This morning, the new legislature gavels in for the 2025 legislative session. And Vermont Public Capital Bureau reporter Pete Hirschfeld sat down with host Jen Jarecki to share a taste of what's in store.
It's only day one of the legislative session, but there's already some potential drama in store. House Speaker Jill Krowinski and Senate President Pro Tem Phil Baruth are both facing a challenge for their leadership positions. Pete, what are the chances they'll be defeated today?
Both of these races are conducted by secret ballot, and that leaves room for the sorts of behind-the-scenes machinations that ought to make any incumbent nervous. That said, Phil Baruth and Jill Krowinski, as well as their leadership teams, are pretty confident heading into today's votes. Jill Krowinski faces a challenge from an independent representative from Dover named Laura Sebelia. Sebelia's pitch to her fellow lawmakers is that the House has done an ineffective job messaging its priorities and its work to regular Vermonters, and that House leadership has not worked effectively with Republican Governor Phil Scott. Sebelia would need to convince a lot of Democrats and almost all Republicans and independents to support her candidacy in order to prevail. But over the past few weeks, Krawinski has really tried to negotiate a power-sharing agreement with the Republicans that she thinks will give her the votes she needs today to retain the speaker's post. Thilba Ruth, meanwhile, is fending off a challenge from Franklin County Republican Randy Brock. Brock says he's worried the newly strengthened GOP won't get the sorts of key committee assignments it'll need to meaningfully advance the Republican agenda. But Brock would need at least 3 votes from Democrats in order to pull that off. And we haven't seen any indication as of now that the Democratic majority is willing to hand the chamber's top spot off to a member of the Republican minority.
Pete, what do these challenges tell us about the balance of power in Montpelier?
You know, even if these incumbent leaders hang on to their positions, these challenges more broadly are symptomatic of a legislative environment that's been destabilized by enormous turnover over the last 2 election cycles. We've seen the departure, voluntarily and otherwise, of dozens of longtime institutional lawmakers. That's left a lot of power up for grabs in the legislature, and there are a lot of lawmakers in all parties who want a piece of it.
All eyes will be on Republican Governor Phil Scott tomorrow afternoon when he delivers his 5th inaugural address. Pete, what can we expect to hear from the governor tomorrow?
This past election, Jen, was all about property taxes and education, and you're going to hear that theme broadcast emphatically by the governor tomorrow. Phil Scott is going to diagnose the problem as he sees it in the education system, and the governor sent an email to lawmakers last week in which he said he'll be unveiling what he's calling a transformative education proposal. We won't necessarily see the governor detail the finer points of that plan on Thursday, tomorrow, but based on some correspondences that I've seen, Phil Scott will be asking lawmakers to make some major changes to the system as we know it. He wants to substantially overhaul governance of public schools to create a system where single governance boards are overseeing much larger groupings of high schools, middle schools, and elementary schools. He wants to overhaul school funding and move to a system in which the state decides how much each district should be spending on education. And then taxpayers and individual districts would be responsible for spending beyond that amount. He wants to change income sensitivity. He wants to increase access to pre-kindergarten and after-school programs and to ramp up capacity in tech ed centers. We'll begin to get a taste of what the governor has in mind when he delivers his inaugural address tomorrow, and there will be much more coming on that front in the weeks between now and his budget address.
I imagine so, Pete. That is a lot of change, as you mentioned. Well, finally, Pete, what else should we be keeping an eye on during these early days of the legislative session?
You know, one outstanding question as of now is, how are the Republican governor and this newly constituted legislative branch going to work together or not work together? Republicans made historic gains in both the House and Senate. Democrats have lost their supermajorities, and that means the road to any major legislative policy this year is going to require bipartisan consensus. Vermont faces some enormous challenges right now in education, health care, housing, energy policy. Democrats and Republicans can either set their differences aside over the next 2 years and make serious concessions on both sides in order to reach that bipartisan consensus, or they can prepare for battle in the next election cycle in 2026. And we'll begin to get some indications early on in this session of which of those directions we might be heading in.
That was Vermont Public Capital Bureau reporter Pete Hirschfeld speaking with host Jen Jarecki. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Howard Weiss-Tisman, Nathaniel Wilson, and Nina Keck. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Abigail Giles. Talk to you later.